Well, thank you for those contributions. I'm so glad. I'm glad you didn't stop till you got to the epistles of Peter, because when you read Peter's epistles, you see a man who's been through a lot, don't you? You just feel it in the whole tenor of the epistles. You just feel that this man has a depth and a walk with God and something that some strength that has been granted to him by the Lord, who has brought him through such suffering, and how he is used to encourage others who are also going through difficult trials. He says those trials are precious. And at the end of 1 Peter, in the 5th chapter, he uses a wonderful name for his God that I've often, I guess I've heard preachers say it, but it stirs me when I think of God as being called by Peter the God of all grace, the God of all grace. So he prays to God for the saints to whom he was writing. He says, "Oh, may the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while." See, that's in there too. He knew that was an important part of it all. "May you be established and strengthened and settled." Something like that, I believe. 1 Peter 5, 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God is able, Peter was saying, to complete his work in you and to strengthen you by his grace. He's just been talking about the conflict that the saints are in. "Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." And there are many others who are going through the same difficulty and are waging the same battle, and the God of all grace is with you. Just as we sang before, onward go, oft in danger, oft in woe. Onward, Christians, onward go, bear the toil, maintain the strife, strengthened with the bread of life. Onward, Christians, onward go, join the war and face the foe. Will ye flee in danger's hour? Know ye not your captain's power? Let not sorrow dim your eye. Soon shall every tear be dry. Let not fears your course impede. Great your strength, if great your need." That means that God sees us. He sees you and me, as you said, in our need. And he means to meet our need. He has grace sufficient for all of us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Jesus said that to the Apostle Paul in a time of trial, and God made the Apostle Paul strong, so that he said, "I glory in my weakness, because it makes room for Christ's strength. Most gladly I do that. Most gladly I'm glad to open that door. I don't need to try to muster up something, exercise my own strength." I remember Spurgeon's devotional reading on, I believe it's on that, "My Grace is Sufficient for Thee." And it says there, if we were 1,000 times as strong as we are, it would all amount to nothing in the face of the enemy. But if we were weaker than we are, which is scarcely possible, we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know that, Dad. You read that in Germany. It's a wonderful word, and it brings out this point that we're making tonight. Oh, great your strength, if great your need. These men and women learn to rely on the Lord. I was thinking of Joseph. Jacob prophesied at the end of his life about his sons, and he said something wonderful about Joseph. And we don't need to go through the whole story of Joseph. I think you're probably familiar with it. But Joseph was certainly not a match for his brothers, who conspired against him. He wasn't strong enough to keep from being thrown into the pit or sold into slavery. In that sense, he was weak. But Jacob, in prophesying over his sons and blessing them, this is a wonderful chapter 49 of Genesis. He says about Joseph, as we know, Joseph was his favorite. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee. Grace and strength and help from the Almighty. Jacob prophesies that way over his son, his beloved son. You were overcome by those who hated you. And it wasn't just his brothers, but when he went down into Egypt, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. I guess Potiphar's wife sure had power over Joseph and wanted to see him finished off. And so she had him incarcerated, and he didn't know how long that was going to be. That must have been a real trial. In Psalm 105, we read that he was bound and his feet were in the stocks, but the word of the Lord tried him. There he was somehow tested and tried and strengthened. What we sing, strengthened by the bread of life. So here it says, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And God helped him. And God put his spirit, the spirit of wisdom, into that man. So he knew how to behave. And God gave him revelation and discernment and understanding and interpretation. You remember the interpretation of the dreams. In fact, although it didn't happen right away, it was because of one of those interpretations that he was brought out of prison and stood before the king. And just as Jacob spoke of him, that God would help him, God did help him before this. And then it says, by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Well, that's quite flowery, but wonderful for Joseph. They shall be on the head of Joseph. Blessings on your head, Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. God made him strong, and God will help you. God will help you, Joseph. And so we know that it was. God gave him love and forgiveness and patience with those who had so mistreated him. Isn't that strength? I can't help but think of, I know this isn't a Bible character, but in Colossians, where it speaks about strength, it's not muscular strength from that you get from working out, but it says strengthened with all might. according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's a real strength from God. And God has that for his people. I had a great treat today. Because I've been, I guess you could say, dwelling in. I don't want to sound more spiritual than I am. Maybe I was just thinking about Isaiah 40 for a good part of this summer. As you know, we started with, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," the first Sunday morning. "He gives power to the faint. To those that have no might, he increases strength." And we saw that, "Behold your God," and we looked at the God in whom we trust, and his great power, and his great wisdom. And you read Isaiah 40, you know it, about his the great universe that he has created. And someone was talking about the stars. Somebody mentioned it today, loving to look up at the stars. It was this morning, right? Yes, and so it is in Isaiah 40 also, that God is so great. And why do we think that a God that is so wise and mighty and wonderful could have forgotten about his people, the people whom he had made, the people whom he had redeemed? Why do you say your way is hidden from God? No, God is with you, and God cares about you, and God is able for you in all of your need. And so look to him who gives strength, who gives grace, who gives help, almighty help. So there we were all summer, all camp season anyway. I've been thinking about Isaiah 40 and blessed by those thoughts. And I put on a CD this afternoon, but I think I continued it this evening. And I guess most of you were either out on the boat or swimming, or maybe you didn't hear. I have to play it again tomorrow. There were some selections from the Messiah, and he started to sing "Comfort Ye," the beginning of Isaiah 40. What is that but strength and help? "Comfort ye," twice, right? "Comfort ye my people, saith your God." There's so much in that chapter, but that's the way it starts. And just even that song, that first part of the Messiah, uses more of Isaiah 40. But just those first three things, comfort ye, shows that God's power is exerted, his strength, his grace is ministered, and it's continuous. I think that repetition means to us that he is emphasizing it, and that it is continuous, his comfort. And then it says, "my people." That's so comforting. And then it's not just someone else's, feeling sorry about your problem or trying to offer a kind and encouraging word, which is wonderful. It's really good. But it said, "your God." Your God gives grace. Your God gives strength. Your God brings help. It's divine. He sends help from the sanctuary and strengthens his people out of Zion. And so just this, I guess it was this evening, there was that. To me, it was such a treat to hear that soloist come on and just sing, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Think of it, the strength of Jehovah for you when you feel tired. And as Sister Gerda said, the Lord strengthens us in body, soul, and spirit. He strengthens with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And these things have been before us all season, and we want to learn to lay hold of the life of Jesus and be quickened by that life and strengthened by his grace. Thank you, Lord, for these examples that we have in your word. And we know there are others, too. And we thank you for all that you have given us by showing us how you worked, how you dealt with people, how you supplied every need. We started with you, Lord Jesus, yourself, how you lived when here a life of utter dependence upon your Father to show us how we ought to live, trusting and obeying, O Lord. Help us to lean harder upon you, leaning on the everlasting arms, deriving strength from you, Lord. Strength not our own. We don't want to trust in ourselves, but in the living God. And in that word that he speaks, that is our life. And in his mighty power, help us to trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. Help us to receive strength, Lord. Teach us, Lord. It seems that these things have been held before us from time to time throughout the season. Now we want to learn how to live by faith in you. And as the Apostle John said, out of Christ's fullness have all we received. Grace upon grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Make our hands strong, Lord. Help us, we pray.